Let's start from Pasuk Ches. Daniel Perikei Pasuk Ches. So we learned yesterday that Belshazzar promises anyone that can decipher, that can read the script on the wall and can provide a satisfactory interpretation will be rewarded with purple clothing and with a special chain and with a third of the Malchus. We'll give him one third of the Malchus. And all of the wise men were unable to, let's see, Pasuk Ches, Edayin then, Olin, Kol Chakimei Malcha. All of the wise men of the king entered, Velo Chohalin. They were unable. Chohalin means able, like Yochol. Velo Chohalin. They were unable. Chisavol Mikre. To read the script, to read the text. And we're furthermore unable, the word v'la refers to this part of the pasuk as well, unable to provide a satisfactory interpretation to the king. L'hoida means to make it known. The malka to the king, what?
You can't read it, you can't.
Correct. So what's the chiddush here? That's a good point. I don't know the answer. You can't even read it, so of course you can interpret it. I don't know the answer. Very, very good question. I don't know. They were unable to provide, maybe it goes without saying, if they couldn't read it, it goes without saying, they could not find it satisfactory, and they could not make it known to the king the interpretation. Okay, and we learned yesterday, the reason why no one couldn't read was because it was Ksav Ashuris, and this was the first time that they came in contact with Ksav Ashuris. Until now, they only knew Ksav Ivri, or other ancient scripts of the world, but not Ksav Ashuris. Even though it seems there were many Jews that were participating in this party, they were there, they were present. I think I saw that somewhere. So there were many Jews, but even the Jews did not know this script because they did not know Ksav Ashuris. And then we're going to see later on that even if they did know, there's other interpretations that maybe they did know the script, but they weren't able to, they couldn't read it because it was written in code form, which we'll learn later on in the end of the Perek Pasuk Kaf Hei, where we have the actual words, and there the Mitzudas explains the various ways that it could have been written, which they were unable to decipher. Pasuk Tes, Edayin then, Malka Baal Shatzar Sagim Mispohal. He became very much confused. Mispohal means confused, afraid. We learned that in the beginning he was already very confused. When he saw the handwriting on the wall, his legs shook, the knots of his thighs opened up. We learned two different interpretations to what that means. Either it means that he could not control his bowel movements, or it means that he or it means that he untied his belt. But now, when the advisors were unable to provide a satisfactory interpretation, he was even more confused and more frightened. Vizi yohi shanayin alai. And his appearance, countenance, shanayin means to change alohi upon himself. He looked different, even more so than it was before. The rav rivonohi mish adoption, and his great men, his advisors, the leaders of the country, Mishtabshin, they were confused. This is another word which means confused. Look at the Mitzudos Sion Pasuk Tes, Inyan Bilbul, the Shibush Hadas, confusion, and they were unable, they didn't have a Yishuv Hadas, their minds were unsettled. And the reason is very simple, because when the dictator is unstable, he's unpredictable. Belshazzar now is in a state of terror, he doesn't know what to do, he's all confused, his knees are shaking, he's terrified, he's unpredictable, and he has, you know, he has control control the nukes. who knows what he'll do? When the leader, what's one thing you have a country that there's a certain there's a certain say there, there's a control by a group of people. So then if one of the leaders is a little bit, there's a balance of power. The balance of power between different groups of the population, different groups of government. So then even if one part of the government goes berserk, there's another part of the government to keep them in, to keep everyone in check. The safeguards. But there are no safeguards here. Belshazzar is a dictator. He's a tyrant. He has full control. And if he is not stable, who knows what he can do? He can destroy the world. And certainly he can execute all of his wise men, all of his subordinates, all of the people in the palace, and therefore they were terrified for their lives. Who knows what's going to happen next? So Pasuk Yud, Malchus, now, what happens? Who comes?
The queen.
Malchuso lekavel mile malka. The queen, lekavel, means do. Because of the mile malka, the words of the king, the rav rivo nohi, and the great ones, the elite of the country, she heard there was confusion. She heard that there's something going on. She heard the king was screaming, and all of the wise men were trying to pacify the king and tell him an interpretation and tell him something. When she heard this great commotion, she asked, "What is going on?" And she entered Lebeis Mishtaya, alas. Alas means to enter the place where the banquet hall, where the party was taking place. Anos Malkison, she right away discovered what was happening. She right away was told that there was a miraculous handwriting on the wall, and none of the wise men were able to read or decipher its meaning. Anos Malkison Va'ameris, the queen raised up her voice and said, Malkol Omin Chayiv. So first, the long live the king. The first thing you always do when it comes to the king is you have to give the king honor. Long live the king. Al Yivahaluch Rayonoch, calm down. First thing is, take a deep breath. Don't be so terrified. Don't worry. There's always a solution to your problems. Let not your thoughts confuse you. V'zivoch al yishtano. Let not your appearance change. You have to maintain your dignity. There's a very deep
composure.
There's a very deep meaning of it. It's not good for the media. Everything, you know, everything we all know in the election, it's all a matter of presentation.
Objection.
How you project your image, confidence, you're a leader. It's not so much if your policies can hold water or not. It's a matter of how you project yourself. So therefore she told him, maintain your dignity. You're in a very great state of fear and terror. You have a very great problem. There's some handwriting on the wall. There's a message from you, and we don't know what's going on, but don't calm down and compose yourself. V'zivonech al yishtano, let it not change. I have a solution. What's the solution? Isai gevar b'malchusoch, there is a person in your kingdom. The ruach elokin kadishin bey, beautiful expression, who possesses ruach hakodesh. She acknowledged that this man has divine spirit. We have to remember that Daniel was not a prophet. Daniel is not listed among the prophets. The Sefer Daniel is not from the Nevi'im, it's from the Ksuvim. But Daniel had Ruach HaKodesh. This is a very, very good, this is a topic in and of itself. Maybe until one time we'll discuss it. The difference between Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah, it's not the same thing. He was a Chacham. Daniel was considered to be a very wise man. And Ruach HaKodesh, the Chazal, in fact, say that a Chacham is greater in many respects than a prophet. So Daniel had two things working on his behalf. He was a wise man, and he was a man that possessed Ruach HaKodesh. So there is this man that has Ruach HaKodesh. V'yomei avuch niharu. Now here she has three expressions. And in the day of your father, so let's learn the pasuk now according to Rashi, very simply, that Belshazzar was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had two sons, Evil Merodach and Belshazzar. After Evil Merodach ruled for 23 years, Nebuchadnezzar ruled for 45 years. Then came his son, Evil Merodach, who ruled for 23 years. And after Evil Merodach died, seemingly his younger brother, Belshazzar, took the throne, and he was now in his second year, but he was a brother, so therefore we can translate the word literally that your father Nebuchadnezzar in his day, Naharu. Naharu means he shone. He had a light, an aura. But what a light of wisdom. This is an expression. It doesn't mean a little that his face was radiated. It means that his mind was bright, was a bright light, was a brilliant person. V'soch l'sonu, seichel, intellect, v'chochma, and wisdom. Three different expressions. I do not know the fine points between the three different expressions. Nahiru, soch l'sonu, and v'chochma. And what kind of chochma? Ki chokhmas elokin hishtaka hishtechach bei. The wisdom of God was found within him. Umalukon Nebuchadnezzar avuch, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, your father, literally your father, according to Rashi, according to the other Rishonim that say it was his grandfather, that Balshetzar was the son of Elmeroidach, and that makes Nebuchadnezzar a grandfather of Balshetzar. So we have to loosely translate the word avuch means your grandfather. Bnei banim harehim kibanim. Rav chartumin oshpin and kastoin gozrin Hakimei appointed this man Nebuchadnezzar as the chief of the Chartumim, the magicians. Oshpin are the I've forgotten people who communicate with the dead. A certain type of chokhmah. I don't remember. Some type of
necrology.
What?
Necrology.
Necrology. Yeah, they communicate with the dead. Okay, with bones. The kastoin are the astrologers. Look into the stars and can tell you what's going to happen. What and the gozrin are means those who make laws, the decision makers. Gozer, they make laws. Hakimei avuch malka, your father, the king, appointed him. He elevated Daniel to a position of authority above. Above, he was the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of you name it, all Chief Minister of all of the wise men. He was his chief advisor.
Chief didn't know that Daniel existed.
No, so it seems like not. And that is a very important point.
He didn't know. That.
He did not know Daniel. He did not know who Daniel was due to the 23 years of during the 23 years of Evel Merodach. Evel Merodach did not. Employ him, and there was something going on during those 23 years, so therefore he was out somewhere else. But the queen knew about this. Now we're going to discuss a few things, but over here she said that this person over here, your father, was a very wise man, and basically call him and he'll be able to provide you with an interpretation of what you see here on the wall. Now let's discuss a few things. First, who is this queen? We learned before another word for a queen, the shegel. When the parrot began, he made a party. It says that he made a party lechem rav. It was night of Pesach, so that's why it said lechem. He wanted to make a match for the omer, and he instructed that the gold and silver utensils of the Beis Hamikdash be brought. And who will drink? I'm reading from Pasuk Beis in the beginning of this parak. The Yishton Behon Malka, the king, the Rav Rivonohi, all of the leaders, Sheg Losei, we translate as the queen. That's how we translate it. Vil Ulechei Nosei, and the Pilakshin, concubines. So the question here is, why now are we changing the term for the queen from the Sheg Losei to the Malchasa, the queen? So there are a few answers. Answer number one is that when it says in the Pasuk Beis, the Sheg Losei was not the queen. It was one of his wives. A king had many wives. There was one woman that was the queen. But then below her, there were many levels. Still Pilakshim, just a harem of women he had. But then there were other women which were a higher status of a Pilagesh, not at the status of the queen. And that one that he chose, that he favored, was called the Sheg Losei. The Sheg, but she was not the queen. Now, when the queen wasn't present, the queen had other things to do. She was in the palace or wherever she was on vacation, and then she hears a great commotion. She comes in and she says, "What's going on?" They tell her there was some handwriting on the wall, and the king is all upset, and she comes and she speaks to the king. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation, which we mentioned in the past, that the Sheg Losei is a dog. In the previous Pasuk Beis, that he had a dog that he had relations with, and this dog was cherished, so he sat there on his throne with his pet right at his side. Okay, that's another interpretation. I think the Gemara says this. It was chaviv, this dog was chaviv to him like a wife. Okay, another third interpretation, which really is the Ikar interpretation, is that the queen Malchasa is not his wife, it's his mother or grandmother. queen mother. It was the wife of Nebuchadnezzar. His wife was still living. Nebuchadnezzar died long ago, more than 25 years ago. This was the second or third year of Belshazzar. Evil Merodach was there for 23 years, so this was 23 to 25. It could be it was his third year, so whatever it was more than 25 years since Nebuchadnezzar. The Gemara tells us. The Gemara tells us that this was the 70th year since Nebuchadnezzar conquered Melech Ashur. Nebuchadnezzar was king for 45 years, and then Evil Merodach was for 23 years, and 2 years of Belshazzar, for a grand total of 70 years to fulfill what it says in Yirmiyah, that after 70 years of Bavel, then Hashem will be paikad, Hashem will redeem. There are many layers of interpretation what that means. The simplest and the most basic interpretation is 70 years from the Churban Beis HaMikdash, which was 18 years short. It was only 52 years at this point from the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But there are many layers of interpretation. One layer of interpretation is that we're dealing over here where Hashem is setting the stage for the Gula by bringing the Nebuchadnezzar and the Malchus Bavel to an end. So it was 70 years. So here Nebuchadnezzar already died 25 years ago, but his queen was still alive, and she came in to Belshazzar to tell him, I have a solution. There's a person whose name is Daniel. So either that's going to be, it could be that if we learn that, like Rashi, that Belshazzar was the son of Nebuchadnezzar, this means that it was his mother. It was the Belshazzar's mother that's coming to her son and telling her son, long live the king. It's very interesting how the mother talks to her son with such respect. May the king live forever. All the formalities. Normally, mother just comes and gives the son a frask. Says, what are you doing? But that's not the way it's presented here. Or it means the grandmother, if we don't like the other Rishon, that Belshazzar was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, so here it was the grandmother that was coming to the grandson and telling him what to do. I have over here a solution. It's a person, Daniel, that can solve your problems. Okay, that's one point we have to make. Another point. No, now, as we're going to see very soon, she tells him that we have a person whose name is Daniel, and he can solve your problems, and indeed Daniel comes, and Daniel reveals what the words mean, he reads the words and tells them what it means, and shortly thereafter, one of the servants takes up a sword and decapitates Belshazzar. That we'll see soon. So in Achanami, this whole thing came through a woman. Why are women always involved in all of these stories? In every story in Tanakh, almost every major story, you'll always find a woman. Yehudis, Chanukah, you have in Esther, Megillas Esther, you have Miriam. You go back to. I'm not prepared to go through all the women, but if you look closely, you'll always find in every single major story in Tanakh, there's always a woman that is involved in the salvation. And here as well, the one that comes with great respect will notice soon that this woman had very great respect for Daniel. The way she speaks about him, she says that he has Ruach HaKodesh, and your father recognized him to be a great man and appointed him in charge of all of the wise men. She speaks him with great respect. Belshazzar does. Belshazzar, when he calls him in, he's mevazahim. He speaks to him as he's just a Jew. The Yehud.
He would have lived through it. Right?
What?
She was there. She knew him. She
right, right. But even though she knew him,
significantly younger than her husband.
Probably was, right.
Clearly remembers.
She remembers him, but she also spoke with him. But Nebuchadnezzar also did not speak to Daniel with such great respect. The biggest proof is Daniel, she wanted to kill Hananiah Mishael Azariah. He threw into the furnace. They were friends with Daniel. But she had a certain sense of respect for Daniel more, for sure, than Belshazzar. Belshazzar met him, and he told Belshazzar what to do, what's going to happen, and Belshazzar had very little respect for Daniel. Whereas she spoke with about their hearts. Why are there always women involved in all of these biblical stories which bring salvation for Klal Yisrael? This whole Maisa is salvation, yeah? What?
Goes back to
Chav, ki hi eim kol chai.
No.
I don't know, perhaps, but there's another point I want to make, which I saw recently. I don't even remember where I saw this. Yeah, okay.
It's because Hashem often chooses to bring salvation to somebody weaker.
Okay, to show it's an idea.
Cause salvation. even through the weakest of.
Okay, that's a very interesting idea. So you say, okay, the women, women are weak. They're weak. They represent weakness, and Hashem shows that it's not.
Why can't you say superior intelligence?
Superior bina yisera. Hashem gave Nashim bina yisera. Okay, that's another approach that it comes through understanding. That's a valid approach. There's something to that as well. But there's not. Yeah. There's a surprise mother-in-law. Okay, but there's another new idea which I came across recently. What? Oh, so okay. So what you just touched upon something, but I'm not sure you grasp what I'm coming to. I saw something recently that we know that when Mashiach comes, v'sham noshir shir chadash. There's shir, this is a famous chazal. There's shir, feminine, and there is a masculine. So the simple interpretation that when Mashiach comes, it's going to be a shir chadash. But today we sing shira. Shira is feminine. So the Medrash says, why feminine? This is not where I'm coming from. This is not what I want to focus on. But let's just discuss this very briefly, because every salvation that comes in this world is only temporary. Until we come to the ultimate salvation of Mashiach, when we experience a salvation, it's only temporary. There's more to come. It's a salvation, but later there will be another tzara, Rachman Ulslan, Lo Yaleinu, until we come to the ultimate, the Geula Shleima of Yimos HaMashiach. Just like a woman when she gives birth, a young woman gives birth, she sings Shira. She has a child. And she went through a horrible experience, a very painful experience of labor. Labor is is obviously very painful. This Shira she sings it's not going to be the end. She plans on having more children. So there's going to be another period of Chevlei Leida. And then after that period of Chevlei Leida, she gives birth once again and she sings Shira. But it's going to be followed by another period of Chevlei Leida. So every Shira, every salvation that we experience in this world until the time of Mashiach is similar to the Shira that a woman sings after she gives birth, because in the back of her mind she's planning on having more children, which will involve another period of Tsar of Chevlei Leida. But when Mashiach comes, that is the ultimate salvation. It will not be followed by any more periods of pain. So then it's called Shir, Lashon Zohar, just like a man does not have Tsar Leida, there is no Chevlei Leida. It will be a song that, in contrast to a woman, is a permanent song, a permanent shira with no tzar that comes later. Okay. Now there's another inyan. Another reason why we refer to the ultimate gula as a shir chadash. That every salvation we experience in galus, we don't deserve. Asei leman shimcha. We don't deserve. We are not on a level where we deserve salvation. Therefore, it's always with rachanim. Mercy. Hashem created the world with din. Hashem saw the world could not survive. So Hashem was mishtatef rachamim to din. Women have the midah of a rachamim. The example is Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu, when at some point when there was a bad simon that the Malchus would come to an end, he went to Chulda Hanaviyah. And the Chazal, why did he go to Chulda, Yoshio, and did not go to Yirmiyah? So the answer is because Chulda is an Isha, is a woman. And Noshim Rachmani Yosein. And she will have the Koyach, a Nevuah, a prophet has the powers to a certain degree to mold the outcome of the Nevuah. The Nevuah to a certain degree is raw, and the way it's presented, the way it's given over by the prophet, has an effect on how the Nevuah will play out. So if you go to a man, if there's a sign, there's a prophecy, and you go to a man, and a man is rough and tough, Yirmiyah was a very harsh prophet. Yoshio was afraid that Yirmiyah will mold the Nevuah in a harsh way. he preferred to go to Chulda Hanaviyah, a woman. She will soften the Nevuah through a woman's rachamim. Therefore, with this idea, again, I don't remember where this is not my idea. I saw this recently in a safe. I don't remember where it was. Maybe I saw this in Rabbi Shua, maybe I saw this in Rabbi Wolfson, maybe I don't remember where I saw this. But the idea is that all salvations that come today are come with rachamim. We are undeserving. And to show that we're undeserving and it's only through Hashem's rachamim, Hashem brings salvation through a woman. Because a woman represents the midah of rachamim. When Mashiach will come, the Gula Shleima, it will only come through men. Why? Because we will earn it. We will deserve it. It will be afilu with midas hadin. And men, relative to women, are very gruff. they're very harsh. Even Midas Hadin will dictate that we are deserving of salvation. So all of the salvations that we read in Tanakh, they're only salvations that are only building up to the crescendo, to the climax of the Gula Shleima. All of those salvations we don't fully deserve. They only are given to us through Midas Harachamim, for Hashem to remind us. It's always, Hashem always throws in a woman somehow in between, somewhere in the scene, somewhere you'll always find a woman. But the Gula Shleima will be through a man, will be Midas Adin, will be only through men. So that's why, again, it's important to know we have here a woman in this story, the Malchus, who advised Daniel that there is a person that can solve your problems. Now, there is one more point I want to make in this pasuk. Pasuk Yud Aleph, there is a lot of verbosity in this pasuk. There are really two parts. If you read the pasuk very carefully, let's read it one more time. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Isai Givar b'malchusach, the Ruach Elokin Kadishin Bey. Period. The first part of the pasuk describes Daniel as a person as Ruach HaKodesh and is filled with the Chochmah of Hashem. Then the second half of the pasuk describes Daniel as a person who was appointed to be the chief advisor over all of Nebuchadnezzar's wise men. That's Malchus Nebuchadnezzar, Avuch Rav, Chartumin, Oshpin, Kastoin, Gozrin, Hakimei, Avuch Malchus. Why the verbosity? So the answer given, I saw this in a sefer called Mishpatei Zahav. It's a new sefer on Daniel. He has a series of svarim on Nach, on Melachim and Shmuel, and he just very recently, only a few months ago, put out a new volume on Sefer Daniel. It's a fantastic, fantastic sefer. And there he says, Mishpitzos Zahav, settings of gold, Mishpitzos Zahav. I do not know. Someone from today, someone like very, very, someone from today. And brand new on Daniel, and there he writes, the reason why we have here two parts of the pasuk is because Daniel had two major events in his life in the beginning of Sefer Daniel. The first event in Paperik Beis is where he was able to tell Nebuchadnezzar the dream about the statue, the gold head and the arms and the torso and the legs, and all the different types of metal, the gold, the silver, the copper, the iron mixed with cheres, the two different types of cheres, the potter's cheres and the clay. That was the first episode. The second episode of Daniel was later in Nebuchadnezzar's life when he had the dream of the tree. And the tree, he saw the tree Godu Ilana was cut down, the roots were tied with chains to the earth, and Daniel came and told him that means that you're going to turn into an animal, you're going to lose your intellect due to your extreme gaiva, and this is going to occur for 7 years, and then you will be restored to your previous state of authority. Two separate stories. Then what is the fundamental difference between story number one and story number two? At least according to the simple reading of the Psukim, in story number one, Nebuchadnezzar did not know the dream. He did not. He forgot the dream. He had a dream. It was bothering him. It was bothering his subconscious state. and he told all of the wise men, tell me what the dream is and tell me the interpretation. And if you don't tell me what the dream is, I'm going to kill all of you. They told the king, you're asking us the impossible. How could we tell you what the dream is? You tell us the dream. We'll tell you an interpretation. Don't ask us for the dream. But Daniel was able to provide the king even with the dream. To do so requires Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh. It was Mispalo, and Hashem revealed to Daniel with Ruach HaKodesh what the dream actually was. The second story, where Nebuchadnezzar knew what the dream was. He saw this magnificent tree that can be seen from one end of the world to the other, and suddenly it was cut down, and the roots were tied with chains to the forest. That incident, he knew what the dream was, but he did not know what the interpretation was. And all of the wise men cannot provide them with a satisfactory interpretation. Daniel came forward and was able to provide the king with a satisfactory interpretation. Here, it did not require Ruach HaKodesh. It required Chochmah. Because the second dream was there. Well, you knew what the dream was. You had to be a wise man to make sense of the second dream. But again, the first dream, where Nebuchadnezzar did not know what the dream was, required a higher level of Ruach HaKodesh to reveal what the dream was. So here, the queen, the mother queen, is telling Belshazzar, Bekitzanimrath, a summary of his two major accomplishments. Daniel, he lived in the time of your grandfather, or father, Nebuchadnezzar, and he accomplished for Nebuchadnezzar two major feats. The first feat is described in the first half of the pasuk. Isai gevar b'malchusov di ruach elokin kadishin bay. There was a man who had ruach hakodesh, who was able to tell your father or grandfather what his dream was, to tell him about the statue and the different types of material and different parts of the statue and what it represents. Uviyom avuch niahiru v'sochle sonu v'chochma k'chochmas elokin hishte chachaspe. Period. And then the second half of the pasuk is describing the second accomplishment of Daniel, where he was able to decipher the dream of the tree. He appointed Daniel as the Rav Chartumin, Oshpin, Kastoin, Gozrin, Hakime Avuch Malka, because he was the wisest of the men, the only one who was able to give Chav Chochma to interpret the second dream of the tree. So that's why we have over here a double, the Basque is broken into parts, the two different ideas. It's a summary. It's a very nice summary of the previous Parakim, and also illustrates, it emphasizes the two different milos of Daniel. He was a man of Ruach HaKodesh and a man of Chochmah. Two different talents, two different worlds. Ha'iluchot v'ha'iluchot. And this is different than prophecy. There's no Navi, it's one category. There's a man of Ruach HaKodesh, that's another category. And then there's a man who has Chochmah. Completely separate. Daniel was not a Navi. The Gemara makes it very clear. Daniel lived in the same time of Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, three of the prophets from Sefer Treyasa. And those were prophets. Daniel was not from that category. He was the, who was he? Well, in this pasuk, well, if you learn the previous parakim, so you learn about the two different stories. Here, it's a beautiful pasuk where it's summarizing the two different koichos. The first story involved Ruach HaKodesh, and the second story involved Chochmah. And the combination, obviously, it could very well be that maybe that's the significance of this story, to decipher the handwriting on the wall. It was a combination of both. First Maisa was only Ruach HaKodesh. The second Maisa was Chochmah. Now we're coming, his handwriting, no one knows what his handwriting is. You need a combination of both together to make sense of what's taking place in the handwriting of the wall. Because let's see, Pasuk Yudbeis. Kol Kovel, she goes on to say, the queen goes on to say that because Kol Kovel has been light off due to the fact, the Ruach Yatira, there is, Yatira means yeser, an abundance of spirit, Umanda. Manda means understanding. Lashon of das. Deo of das. Visoch le sonu and seichel. It's hard. What is seichel? What is das? It's whatever. It's hard to differentiate one from the other. It all depends on the context. Different degrees of wisdom. What's the difference? What is then the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Different expressions that define different types of wisdom, and all depends on the context. These words appear in different places, and depending on the context, it can mean different things in different places. Mifashar, he has the ability to decipher. Chelmin, dreams. Vim acha voyas, to relate. We had this word many times. To relate, to express. He has the ability to express achidon, riddles. Okay, a riddle. Umishore kitrin. Mishore means to open, to loosen knots. Secrets, things which are tied up. Secrets in the world which are closed and sealed, he can untie these knots and reveal the meaning. These talents are found in Daniel. And now, who is Daniel? So the mother, the queen mother, says, you should be aware that if you look at it, I'm telling you this word, Daniel. So the Baal Shem Tzar says, I don't know what your mother, I don't know what you're talking about. I have a PhD in Babylonian history. I'm postdoctorate in Babylonian history, and I don't know what you're talking about. There's no such person called Daniel in history. So she says, the reason why you may not be aware was because the Malka Som Shemei Beltishatzar. You're right. The reason why you may not have heard him is because your father, Nebuchadnezzar, grandfather, changed his name to Beltishatzar. That's the name of his Avodah Zarah. That was the name of the Avodah Zarah of Nebuchadnezzar. And that's how he is referred to in all of the history books, in all of the legends of Babylon. Ka'an, but now... Now this part of the pasuk is a little bit confusing, but Ka'an now, Daniel, but put that aside, there's an emergency, you're losing yourself, I see that you're in a state of shock, a state of terror and panic, and you're losing your composure, and it's not good for your malchus. I advise you, my son or my grandson, to get this over with and call him in right away, and he'll provide you with a solution. Ke'an now, Daniel Yiskere, let him be called, and Ufishra and let him reveal, relate, express the interpretation of this handwriting on the wall. Now, simply, it means she's telling him that his name is Belshazzar, so you'll be more familiar from the history books who he is. But there's also something very interesting, is that who is the name of her son? Belshazzar. Belshazzar is almost identical to Beltishatzar. The only difference is the tes is missing. Now, there's a medrash. The medrash says the reason why the tes was missing was because he... It's a medrash. He took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash because he had the chutzpah to take the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and bring and use them in his meal, in his suda, and drink wine from them. So Hashem took away a letter from his name, the letter Tes. The Tes, I guess, is the letter Tov. Tes represents Tov. So a letter was removed from his name. But it appears, according to this medrash, that Belshazzar's real name was also Beltish Shatzar, which is very interesting. That means that Nebuchadnezzar, let's assume Nebuchadnezzar was the father of Belshazzar, he called his son Beltishatzar. And he also called his favorite advisor, Daniel, Beltishatzar. So he named his advisor Beltishatzar, and he named his son Beltishatzar. Now he's not known, again, as Beltishatzar because of his sins, so he is, in Sefer Daniel, he is referred to as Belshazzar. The test somehow disappeared due to his sins. But the real shoresh, the real root of his name is Beltishatzar, after the idol of Nebuchadnezzar, the idol of Babel, which we learned a couple few times, which stands for Bel. That's the actual name. Bel is short for Baal. Tash should guard, should protect, Atzar, the treasure. May this God protect the treasure. So what is he doing? She's telling her son, you'll get along with him, because both of you have the same Sherish HaNeshama. A name defines the essence of a person. We all know that when people are named, and this is a Kabbalistic inyan, but when a child is named after someone, after a person, child is named after a grandfather, great-grandfather, so it's brought down in very some that the person who he's named after is mashpia. That soul, that neshama, has a certain effect upon the child who carries his name. We don't know what these things mean, but it's brought, and that's why there's many people that are very makbid not to give a child two names. Not to name one child after two different great-grandparents. Because not everyone gets along. We know that in life, it's not a shirk. Sometimes it's very good. Some people are lifelong friends and they connect, but not everyone connects. So if you give a child, you name a person after two different great-grandparents, whatever it is, so both of them together are being mashpia upon this child. And who says it's a good shirk? Who says those two sets of hashpa work well? Maybe this conflict. Because the child, subconsciously, or whatever this means, the makabalah, some type of friction, because the two different people don't necessarily get along, they don't see eye to eye and everything. But, okay, don't take that so seriously, because that's not the minute today. Today we're not some akbar on these things, today we're not into any Kabbalah, and people every other day will name a child after at least two great-grandparents, if not three, four, or five. There are people that have five names. They name that because they're afraid they won't have any more children, so they want to chap it in and name a child after everyone. But there's much discussion about this. You look in Chazal, you don't find anywhere in Chazal kimat people being named after two names. Everyone has one name. You don't find this is a modern thing in the last couple of hundred years, not even Harvard, whatever, maybe 200 years, to name people, give people multiple names. But in any event, a name does capture the essence of a person's soul. So the mother was telling her son, you'll get along with him, don't be afraid, my son. You have a problem. Every time someone tells you, I have an advisor, why don't you meet this person? He can help you. Go to this doctor, go to this dentist, go to this lawyer. I should go to him. Why should I go to him more than go to him? So the mother says, you'll get along with him very, very well because he has your name. He has the same name. You both come from the same Shurish HaNeshama because your father, Nebuchadnezzar, changed the Neil to Belteshazzar, and your real name is Belteshazzar. You have something in common. And the Mela, he will be able to provide for you a solution. Okay, that's one interesting thing to point. Another thing I want to point out about Belteshazzar is there's another entirely a different approach. That someone here asked before, what happened to Daniel the last 23 years? Where did he disappear? After Nebuchadnezzar used him, he disappeared. Right? The whole, the Evel Merodach, those 23 years just disappeared. What happened to him? So some of the Farshim, in the Mishpat Zav, he explains that I assume he has sources for this, is that Daniel was very unhappy with the name he was known in Bavel as Belteshazzar. And Belteshazzar is the name of Bavel's Avodah Zarah. It's a Chil Hashem. It's a Chil Hashem. Every time you call me to the palace, you're calling me by the name of Avodah Zarah. He was very unhappy with this. So he chose to seclude himself and to distance himself as much as possible from the Malchus of Bavel, in order not to give any kavod to the Avodah Zarah. So the mother said, you know, you have a problem. And the problem is, the only one that can solve your problem is this genius, is this man, as Ruach HaKodesh, Mishchacham, Daniel. And Daniel is known officially as Belteshazzar. So, go get him. But if you go out and you put out a kol kore, and you announce on the radio, will Belteshazzar please come forward? He's not going to come. Because he doesn't like being called by that name. He likes his real name, Daniel. The name which captures Hashem, Daniel is Kel, comes from the name Kel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you'll call him by his real name, I will give kavo to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kel, that is contained in Daniel, then he'll open up to you. Then he'll become your friend, and he'll help you, he'll do what needs to be done. So therefore she says, instead of, besides the simple reading of Yiskere means get a hold of him, call him, go bring him. Yiskere over here really means have him brought to the palace. Yiskere can also mean call him by his real name. Don't call him by the name of the Avodah Zarah that your father has given him, because he doesn't like that. And when you do that, he reacts differently. He's not going to want to help you. He's not going to be cooperative. So she says, he's a great man, he's a genius, and his name is Belteshazzar. However, get a hold of him, Ka'an, but now Daniel Yiskere. Make sure when you communicate with him by his real name Daniel, which has the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then when you see that you're giving honor to Hashem, he'll be cooperative and he'll help you with your problems. And then he'll tell you, he'll express and relate the interpretation of your dream. Yeah.
How old was the king at this point?
How old is he? I don't know the answer. I don't know. It's probably, yeah.
You have to assume that he grew up.
Yeah.
In the period with his father.
Well, we have to know, is it his father or is it his grandfather? Who is Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar was father or grandfather. And the Nebuchadnezzar died 23 years ago. So it's not so far-fetched to say that when Nebuchadnezzar died, he was an infant. He was 23. I didn't look in the back of all these, you know, the art school, all these timelines. I'm just, it must be known. I assume it is known exactly. But also could be, even if he was an older person, it could be that he wasn't present. His father sent him away. His father sent him away to a far away country to get a good education. I don't know what it was. So, or they rewrote history. I don't know. That's a good point. But he was at least, it's at least 25 years since the passing of Nebuchadnezzar, and that somehow plays into the picture that somehow explains how he did not know, and his mother or grandmother had to reveal to him about this person, Daniel. Okay, so we'll stop here. Pasuk Yud Gimel.